This is Scamp Life,
the other side,
a bi-weekly podcast for summer camp professionals with your hosts, Kelly and Shauna. Now it's time for another thought-provoking episode exploring the amazing world of summer camp.
Welcome back to another episode of Scamp Life, the other side with Kelly and Shauna. Shauna, how are you? We are recording in early April. And how are you? Let's get this out here first.
I am not well.
Are any of us this time of year?
I don't think any camp director is well this time of year. I feel like we are all trying to finish up hiring, if we haven't done so yet, scrambling to get training done and whatever else we need to get done, finding lifeguards and nurses and all of that good stuff. I don't even have to find any of that, but I can just empathize. Like, I'm just so tired. I had my camp assistants start this past week, and they are new to my camp. They're not new to the camp world, but they're new to my camp. It's like that double duty training of my camp plus all the zoo stuff on top of it. So it has been, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I felt that. I slept till 8 o'clock this morning, and I know that doesn't sound late for probably some of our listeners, but when I am up at 6 every day and have been working 6 days a week and 10-hour days, 8 o'clock is the dogs let me sleep till 8. We're going to take that as a win. Yeah. And it's that time of year, but I broke out the infamous green binder, my staff training binder for this episode. So we must be talking something good.
I think so. My binder is black, but it's at my desk. I wish it was green.
Mine's lime green.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Yes, we are talking staff training. What is going to be new this year? Things that we tried last year that maybe didn't work. And yeah, I will preface this with that. I just came from a Michael Brandwein seminar.
Ooh, and so you're on still that conference-y high.
Oh, yeah. It was 2 days. It was half days each day. And it was virtual. And if you've ever been to a Michael Brandwein anything, whether it was at a conference and you were only with him for an hour, you just know how dynamic and engaging his sessions are. And the whole time I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And the whole thing was about staff training. I had already planned on revamping staff training. Over the years, I inherited staff training from previous people, and with us being education-based camp, there's just so much curriculum that has to get written every year, and I feel like the curriculum is finally in the right place now where I can actually focus on staff training and make it more campy and model it how I want my counselors to model a camp day. So that is the direction I'm going into, and I feel like Michael Brandwein gave me some great ideas. So I'm really excited to get started planning with his ideas. And I hope I don't lose steam, because I'm almost there. I'm so close to losing steam.
Yeah, I'm done. But that's also because my staff show up in 5 weeks. Yeah. So because I have a million other things that have to get done, like I still have to print, right? I still have to print things. I have to finalize, tweak, that sort of thing. But my schedule's done. My training is done. Yeah. So I broke out the green binder so that we could talk training today. And we're doing things differently too. We are. Mm-hmm. So for many years, and by many, I mean my entire camping career, I have done an entire week or more of staff training, and like consecutively, like whether it be 5, 6 days, solid week, right? Our kids show up. We're not doing that this year.
Ooh, what are you doing?
So I'm breaking it up. Part of that is because my supervisor asked for 9 weeks of camp this year and not 8. And so in order to do that, I had to get a little creative with training because of when staff get out. Fortunately, this year, my average staff age is 22. That's counselors. That's not including my kitchen staff, my bus drivers, or my nurses. That is leadership and counselors. Wow. My average age is 22. Last year, it was like 17, 18. But because of that's why we had to get creative, is because we had a lot of high schoolers last year. This year, we don't have as many high schoolers. So I'll do lifeguard training. That happens in 5 weeks. We'll do the 2 days of lifeguard training. And then we have the 18th and 19th of May. It's a weekend. It is all program training. We are not talking anything else. just how to run the different program areas. Safety with
Ooh.
Them, it is all program. It is all fun and games. It is all learning. And that's it for 2 days. And then, unless you are rope staff, you have a 3 day break. Rope staff will train in between, but then you have a 3 day break. And then we're doing 2 days of just classroom training. And I've made it fun. Like, it's not all listen to me lecture, and I'll get into the details as we go. But yeah, we are doing 2 days of classroom training. And then I added a third day to camp prep because I'm going to run out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last day will be primarily camp prep. But we noticed last year that staff were not retaining certain things with program. And I'm not even talking creative programming. Like, I've thrown that out the window at this point. Unless a staff member has that creativeness to them, trying to teach creative programming with this generation of staff is difficult. And I'm not saying it can't be done. I am just saying I am not doing it. But I will definitely encourage and coach anybody who wants to throughout the summer. But I am not training it. I have done it the last 2 years, and pretty much they created their own games during staff training and they never got used. Yeah.
Yeah. The camp day is just so busy, especially for first year counselors or people who have never worked with kids, that trying to incorporate your own creativity into the programming could be really overwhelming, especially when it's so easy for them just to fall into what the program is itself. Like, it's already there for you, and we know how long the days are. I think creative programming could work well. I think it works better at sleepaway camps than anything. Like, we're coming from day camps. So yeah, I could see like people getting into the niche of what they do for the first 3 weeks and then incorporating their own creative programming, because they also know what the kids want because they're with them all the time. Our kids change constantly.
Yeah.
Versus sleepaway camp. Traditional sleepaway camp, I should say, is typically 4, 6, or 8 weeks.
And you also have downtime during overnight camp where you are working, but it is like rest hour. That is a great time for you and your co or you to brainstorm and think of stuff to do, or ask your kids what you want to do during that time. But you're still working and you're still getting paid for the time you're on, but it's just, it's very different. But yeah, so let's get into it. So unless you're doing something crazy with your staff training, I know you wanted to switch it all up.
Oh yeah, totally. Mine used to be like, I don't know, I have just always disliked the fact of how much they're sitting and listening to me. And over the years, I constantly think, am I supplying them with too much zoo policies and procedures and stuff like that? And I've been taking out more and more of it over the years. There's just some stuff that doesn't pertain to them that was in the training that I inherited, and I've just been pulling it out. And this year, I think I'm solely focusing on, outside of emergency procedures and stuff like that, the fun of camp, like how to incorporate fun in every aspect of the day to make it fun for yourself and the campers. Because I feel like they get just so wrapped up in the curriculum that they forget that camp is supposed to be fun.
Yeah. And you have a very educational based camp too. So that's tough. Some things that we are keeping from last year, at least in ours, we have invited back our child advocacy group to do child abuse prevention training for us again.
Yeah, nice. I'm doing that too. We had some big child advocacy group come in and do something with our whole department, and they said, hey, we'd be happy to do it for your staff. And I said, please do.
It's such a heavy topic that I feel like it's important to have an outside source who specializes in it do the training. Not to say that we are not experts. I feel like you and I have probably taken some form of CAP every single year since we were counselors or in this profession or working with youth. For us, yes, we're probably experts in it, but we're not necessarily experts in training it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. We could probably verbatim recite all the things that we learned, but I always just find it like when I am training my staff on child advocacy, and they always ask these questions, and I'm like, I don't know the answer to that. And a child advocacy professional will. So they're coming in for 90 minutes to do some training. And I'm having all of my counselors do mandated reporter before they step foot in our building. So that way I got to take that out of the training, which gave me an hour more of fun training. And of course, we're paying them for that time. We pay all of our staff for every training.
We do an exchange. We donate a week of camp for their fundraiser in exchange for them to come out.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So ours is a, I believe it's a city run thing. So they do these trainings for free. So we got lucky with that. If you don't know, I'm in Chicago. There's a lot of resources here.
You're very fortunate.
Yeah, privileged and so grateful that I have access to it.
Yeah, we're definitely keeping that. We are keeping our risk walk part of emergency procedures and risk management. I find that really good. One, because staff then can see it, but also it's my last minute maintenance requests. It's the what did we miss? What did I miss by walking around camp? But it's really helpful. Because they think of risks as broken and stuff, but also we talk about why is a playground risky? Why can the field be risky? That sort of thing. But also they look for the other risks too. And then of course we're keeping our scenarios of conflict resolution because as we have talked about this season on the podcast, we all know where that is with children and conflict. So behavior management. So we're definitely practicing. We're doing scenarios again. And that's a thing. Yes, I'm keeping the ACA mandated topics, but I think those are the only trainings that I've actually chosen to keep.
Oh, nice. So all of my trainings are staying. They're just going to look different. Like I'm not chunking out my schedule anymore. So it's not going to be like from 10 to 11, we're talking about, I don't know, like chats with keepers. It's all going to be like just together. We're just in training and that's what it is. There's not going to be a formal schedule this year. And
I don't know do that.
I am excited for it. I will have obviously everything that needs to happen during this day. We're going to go through this. I'll have like my script, my outline, but the counselors won't have that. And if I will give them an outline of things, but it's going to be like, how do I describe it? It's not going to be like, this session is going to be on time management. They'll have fun session names. What do you do if a child says, you can't make me do that? And then that'll be our session on behavior management.
You should just call it, you can't make me do that.
You can't make me do that. Thank you. I'm taking that. But yeah, so I am excited just to have it not be so rigid. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting it off with a skit, of course, that Michael Brandwine gave us. So I don't want to reveal it, but it involves getting help from some other people in my department. And one of them's going to be a UPS delivery person, and they're going to drop off this huge box. And it's going to be funny. And inside the box is going to be like the whole session is going to be called What Are You Here For? And it's going to be mission driven. We're going to be talking about the mission of why we're here, but it's going to start off really fun and light and just building in these skit things to remind them that like camp is supposed to be fun, even though we are a themed bio camp, like we're still here for fun. And I think that has been the biggest missing component in my training over the years. So definitely trying to bring it back home to the more campy aspects of camp that I've been trying to put in for the kids. And now it's time for me to put it in for the staff.
Very cool. We are doing, a lot of people do this. I have never done it, but I am doing training manual Jeopardy. So I will send it to them ahead of time before we do program training. And then I will remind them because they won't read it until they get the physical copy that on the 19th, so this last day of program training, that we will be doing Jeopardy when they come back. And there can be anything from the staff manual in this Jeopardy. And you do not know who your teammates are yet. And I will have some prize for the winner that, you know, is very coveted and will make them want to win. I don't know what it is yet. See, little things I still have to do. But it'll be Jeopardy. And I've already created the Jeopardy board. So there's like, I think one column is like mission and values. Another two columns is policy procedure. So it's like different sections of the manual. So it literally can come from anywhere.
I love that. But I used to do bar trivia.
I like that. But that is how I think I'm going to get them to read the staff manual. And we will debrief. But I think that's going to be a good way to try and get them to read it and know what's in it before going over. And then we get to do something fun, right? You keep talking about fun. Mm-hmm. We're just going to play Jeopardy. You're going to show up that day and we're playing Jeopardy. And it all the information comes from your staff manual, which you will not have access to. And yeah, that's how, and if you let your team down, you're letting your team down and you don't even know who's on your team yet.
Oh, that would give me nightmares. I can't, I hate letting people down. So I would be memorizing the staff manual.
But that's what we want. We want them to know what's in the manual. Mm-hmm. We're doing it that way. I am fortunate enough that's where that 3-day break is nice, is mm-hmm. because they have time to study it. Whether they're going to do it or not, that's up to them. And then we'll go into child abuse prevention right after that.
Oof, yeah. So a little fun before the serious stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, and then we have lunch directly after that for
us. Perfect. Oreo method. Love it.
Yes. Yeah. And then we've got some choice signups, which that's going to be new this year to do choice programming for our kids, certain age kids. Mm-hmm. So in order to find out where our staff is the most confident after program training, we're going to have them demonstrate how we do choice sign up, but for them, instead of picking what activities they want to do, they're going to be picking what they feel the most confident in. And this way we can try and have them teach it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's so good. So I'm doing also a lot of pre-training too, like before they get here. So this year, everybody is going to have a PAL. This is another thing from my good friend Michael from Chicago. That's how he
just asks call him people. Michael from Chicago.
That's what he wants us to call him. My good friend Michael from Chicago. So he has this thing called PALs, and it's Partners Accelerate Learning. And you assign people like a PAL that they have to converse with before training. This week, I hope none of my staff is listening, but surprise, this week I'm sending out an email that is going to reveal who their PAL is, and they have to do an interview with each other. They have 3 questions on a Google form that they will fill in, and then this is also how I'm collecting information about my staff for icebreakers. So it's a little twofold there. But they'll have to get this done by sometime in May. So it's just 3 questions. They can do it on the phone. They can do it through Zoom. They could do it through email. It's completely up to them. However they want to introduce themselves to their pal. And if they do it, which I can't make them do it because we're not paying them for this part. But if they do it, they're going to get entered into a drawing for a really fantastic camp prize. Which we all know
will come later.
It's not that fantastic. But it's just for fun, right? And then they're going to sit with their pals during training. And at various times throughout training, after we do a session or cover a really big topic, I'm going to have them teach each other what they just learned from that training. Because partners accelerate learning. And then the other thing, I have staff coming back from last year, and I haven't had 5 previous staff coming back from last year. And this is the first time, I'd say since pre-pandemic, that I've had 5 staff coming back. I have 16 adult staff total. So 5 staff is a lot. And they're going to be my 3-team or great greeting group, another from my best friend, Michael. So they are going to practice Westie, which is like a welcoming thing. So they are going to meet people at our zoo gates or in the parking lot and connect them with their pal and bring them into the camp building and get them seated and ready for training and everything, just to give everybody a warm welcome, because that's how we should be welcoming campers in as well. And there's like a whole Westie is an acronym. It's like warm smile, eyes, look people in the eye, shake hands or stoop like down to somebody's eye level, and then tell them who you are and how you feel. So it could be like, I've been waiting for you. I couldn't wait until you got here. We're going to have an awesome week. Oh, and then I is introduce them to another person. Their pal, yeah, or just somebody else if their pal's not there. No, this isn't your pal, but this is Joe Schmo, and he's been here for 17 years, and he asks him all the questions. I'm really excited about that, and then I'm going to have my G3 team teach my staff the Westie. I'm trying to get other people in front, because it's always, I am the camp person.
Yep.
It's always me, and I hate that, because there's so many other people in the room that have just such talent, and this year I can actually utilize them, because I have 5 people returning, so I'm going to have them do a lot of stuff. So they're going to teach welcoming in campers. So I'm pulling them in early for just a training on what Westie is and how to emulate it and stuff like that. So I'm really excited.
I have my leadership and a couple alumni teaching program training. I'll be there. I'm going to be floating around and stuff, and there to interject if needed on how we do things or how I want things. But alumni and program staff are doing the training, and then I'm around. I'm doing a couple of trainings that day. We're doing cameras this year, so I'm introducing the cameras on the first day of program training so that I can pass them out and get pictures of program training. But I'm doing very little during program other than introducing everybody that's there, who I am, who's leadership, who the leads are going to be for the next couple days, because I want program not to be heavy. Program is supposed to be fun. That's why we're doing it first, because I want them to get to know each other. I want them to have fun. Like, they're going to be doing archery and boating, and they're going to be doing the fun stuff. So let that be the, instead of doing all these team building and icebreakers, yes, we're going to be doing that too, because I have an alumni coming in to teach group games, name games, field games, that sort of thing. But I'm going to have her do all the name games and stuff as people are showing up. So as things to do while you're waiting, or you're waiting on people to show up, you can keep adding in. But all the fun's happening the first 2 days so that they hopefully enjoy it. One thing though that I am doing after child abuse prevention. So Brown and Brown, they are
insurance company.
Insurance lawyer. Yeah. I think they're a combination of both. They did a presentation free. It was a free presentation online a couple months ago on child abuse prevention, but it was not the, what we teach our staff. It was like the college level 300 course. It was not the 100 course. And I think I told you this offline about auditing your spaces on where people should be placed in order to have the best supervision, whether that be audio or visual.
Yeah, so, no, you didn't.
Oh, I didn't? Okay, cool.
No.
So what we're doing is we're going to discuss supervision. I'll probably pull in some Redwoods videos. Gotta love the classic Redwood videos. But I actually took my major. Look, I used my major, my undergrad. Woohoo! And I drew to scale our buildings. And yes, I did take the time and I measured out every building and I drew them all to scale. They're not super detailed. They're just basics, right? So like our pool house, which is where we do our changing in the main bathroom area, the pool, the dining halls for like rainy days when we're in there. And then I think I'm going to either go out, we'll probably go outside for the outdoor areas and do them in person. But for them to get an idea, I'm doing the buildings because they're contained. And I'm going to make copies, laminate them so they can be dry erase, and probably pair people up and let them figure out where the best place to put staff are in different scenarios. Hey, it is just you and 5 kids that you took to the bathroom. How do you supervise this? And they'll be able to put X's and stuff. Or you and your co are now changing for the pool and you have your entire group of 16. How do you handle and go through that? Or it's a rainy day and the dining hall is full of kids. Where do you need to put people to best supervise? So we're going to do that. And that's what we're going to do, supervision training. And then I'm probably going to take them outside and go to different areas close to the dining hall, so we're not trekking all over camp, so that they can get an idea. Okay, here's the playground. You and you put yourselves in places that would be super good supervision spots. But we're going to do this on the same day as child abuse prevention. So that is in their head. And right after lunch. So that's like our, after we do our program choice sign up. So something fun, light, right after lunch, we're going to go into supervision.
That's so smart. I like that. But pairing those things.
Yes. And then that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to pair a lot of things, because if you think about it, supervision, child abuse prevention, conflict resolution, and group dynamics all go together.
Yeah.
Everything goes together. It all comes together at one point. The other two are going to be on the next day, but supervision and child abuse prevention are the same day because supervision leads to prevention. Yeah. Yep. But it did take some work to draw all that out. I would like to thank my maintenance team for giving me one of those rolling yardsticks so that it would measure how many feet as I walked all the buildings so they didn't have to fight a tape measure by myself.
That's so nice of them.
I know.
I also think that sometimes as directors, because we've just been here for so long, like when we think about how to supervise kids in the bathroom, it's just
second nature.
It's second nature. Like, we don't have to think about it. Of course we're going to stand there. This is something that, like, I don't like to think that people are less intelligent than me. Not that it comes from intelligence, but it, like, it's experience, that people are less experienced than me. So there's a lot of things where I think, oh, that's a no-brainer. And then I have to remind myself that it's not, because common sense is not common. And that a lot of the stuff that I know how to do is because somebody else taught me how to do it. So I love that no matter how basic we think it is, our staff needs that because they're babies. So if we're providing them with the most basic knowledge, then we're covering our asses, excuse my French, but also giving them the tools they need in order to do the job that we're hiring them for.
And I figured by doing it on paper first, they could see it. So we may do the pool changing bathroom area, because it's like our main bathrooms on camp, but it's also the changing area for pool time. There's a lot that can happen. So we'll probably do that one on paper and in practice. And then other outdoor areas will be in practice. But I feel like by putting it on paper first, they can see the whole building as a bird's eye view and see that if you put someone in the doorway, but it curves, you can't see the other end. So you have to audio supervise as well as just visual, but also talking, not just listening, but talking to them, checking in with them, not just standing there. Those are all things that you and I just do. Stand in the doorway, double check when things get quiet or if kids are taking too long. But that's how we're doing supervision. I have been looking at TikTok to see if I can find videos, because okay, so we've all been listening all year and talking about at conferences and various things that staff only have that 3-second retention window. If I can find a good TikTok that has the information I am trying to convey, I'm going to show them the TikTok video because it's not a 4-minute long video.
Yep. Nice.
So
I love TikTok.
I hate TikTok, but
you know I love it.
And Chris loves TikTok too. Chris Callow from the programming side. He loves it too. And he celebrated the day I finally downloaded it. And yes, I doom scroll and I hate it, but
you send me videos too sometimes.
I do send you videos.
Oh, she's on TikTok.
But I thought about that and seeing if I, and I don't know of big TikTokers who would have the information. So it's been a lot of searching and then trying to get them on my For You page, and I'm somehow on a Foaling Barnes For You page. I don't know. Anyway, go figure. But yes, so that's my thought process there. The rest of that first day of classroom training is radio etiquette and then theme days, because we are adding theme days this year. We're doing one a week and it's a different one every week and the themes are already there, but I'm going to pair staff off or triple up. And they're planning a theme day, and they will have a leadership staff member as their point person of, I need help, or making sure they get it done. So the accountability aspect. Oh, that's my first day of classroom training. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. See, my trainings are like, the trainings are already created and like from previous years, like all the information is there. None of that is getting changed there because all of that is where it needs to be. And I'm not giving my staff binders this year. They're going to make their own binders as we go through.
We're going to.
Yeah, like I'm going to give them a binder with our SALT staff and leadership page and everything. But at the end of the day, there'll be papers that they can add to their binders. So that's going to save me time. One, because I don't have to make binders, and I can have the camp assistants print the stuff that I need them to print on that day. So nothing has to be pre-done if I don't want it to be pre-done or if I run out of time before. It's more about taking that information and putting it into fun. I want training to be so dynamic that they're not bored. Nobody's fallen asleep. Last year I had one counselor fall asleep right in front of me during a training.
I've had that happen too.
And I get it because I was that kid that fell asleep in class all the time in high school, especially when you're working another job and the days are long. Sometimes you just can't keep your eyes open. So I want them to be moving, engaged. So that's where I'm going. At some point in the day, I'm going to have a press conference where I come in with the big press conference, what do you call it, like binder, that our presidential press conference, what are they called? I forget.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. They come in and I'm going to have the camp assistants play Hail to the Chief on kazoos as they come into the room. And then we're going to have the camp seal, which is, of course, because we're a zoo, it's a real seal on a... It's a seal, the animal. Like, that's already printed and that's going to go on our podium. And I'm going to have our previous counselors in the audience, so to speak, wearing like press hats and having like little notebooks. And they're going to ask pre-written questions that are from the day. Yeah. And that's going to happen at various times, at one time each day, various times of the day. And just thinking differently about how I can get that same information to them, but in a more engaging way that is going to help them remember better. And also just give them the understanding that camp is fun and it's supposed to be fun. And yes, I keep saying it, we're a camp with a curriculum, but let's make it fun. Like, the kids aren't at school. So I'm hoping that by doing that, it will keep everybody engaged. Also create that culture and community that we already have, but bring it to the nth level, and also make sure that my staff is feeling like we're providing them with all the information that they need to, and also giving them space to ask questions and stuff like that, that are just, they don't have to be nervous about asking a question because we've created just like this fun atmosphere. So I hope that it will work. It's going to be a lot of me just making a fool of myself, which I do every day anyway. So
it's fine.
Not mad about it. Yeah. I'm going to be using a lot of props because anytime you can hold something in your hand, they're going to pay attention more. I've ordered some fun hats to wear that are themed to the different training sessions,
like, or what
the point I want to get across. But yeah, I'm excited just to have fun with staff training because it's always so stressful. God, we didn't get through that, or that session went too long. And this year, I don't want that. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna get the information, and they're gonna be fine on day one. That's where I'm going this year, trying to remove the stress. I know it'll still be there, but.
So speaking of stress, the conflict issue of stress that we are bringing in. We're not bringing in. We're virtually bringing in Emily Galinsky. She did a presentation at Tri-State of conflict versus bullying and the difference, and she is going to do that virtually for my staff. And
she's going to be on our podcast.
So she'll be on one of our, you know, next episodes. But yeah, so when I asked her for the slide deck from Tri-State, she mentioned that she did, because I knew she did training, right? She's a consultant. I know she went in and did training. I didn't realize she offered virtual training. So when she mentioned that, I was like, oh, I can't afford to fly somebody in, but I could afford to Zoom you in or put you on a screen. And with how much kids have changed, I found it very important that... conflict resolution is like my favorite training to teach, right? Like, it is for me to give this up. Conflict resolution training tells you that times are changing, and I need to bring in bigger resources. So
I feel like we've talked about it on this podcast. It's been a hot topic on other podcasts, camp related podcasts, and even at conferences, that conference, like, the kids are not all right.
No, they are.
Like, there is, we don't know, like, we're trying to figure out how to work better with their behavior and also their avoidance to working through conflict. I feel like every person that works in in and with youth is just, we're drowning right now when it comes to this topic, because the kids, since the pandemic, they are handling conflict and behavior how we used to just doesn't work anymore.
I will cut things other places because I find this so important to bring her in. She is very dynamic and great. And so she's going to do conflict versus bullying. Then I'll do scenarios and stuff with my staff separately for practice. But in terms of like general concept and information, it's going to come from her, because I feel like by that point we'll be on day two of classroom. And I feel like this topic is up there with child abuse prevention this year.
Yeah.
And so I felt it important to bring someone in.
Yeah, I am not going to start working on that aspect of training because I know that's like the one thing that has to get updated until after we talk with Emily. Because I'm excited to see what she has to say and bring in anything new, because the kids are different.
They are. And that's exactly why I'm doing it. And so that's probably the biggest thing I could recommend to listeners right now is, if you have the means and resources, and even if it's just virtually, we can't afford to fly someone in. We can't do it right now. As much as I would love to have a speaker come in, and if they are not local, I can't do it. If you know a consultant or you know someone who understands these kids right now and is able to teach something similar, I know Emily's books are filling up like crazy, do it. Bring them in. Find it in your budget. It's not that expensive for us in the grand scheme of things. And if it cuts down on conflict this year and bullying, it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah. We've also had Claire Griffith on our show,
yes,
too.
Yes, Claire would be a great one to reach out to.
Shane as well, yeah. Go back to our previous episodes. All their contact information is there. And I don't know what their prices look like or whether they do virtual programming, but I would think that they would be okay with it. I can't say that for sure, but in the
ask them. Might as well ask them.
Ask them. But in the nature of the world that we live in now, I would say I can't see it being an issue. But yeah, I feel like conflict resolution and behavior management with the kids is definitely something that we're going to see a lot more trainings on in the future, just because of the kids figured out that we don't have any control over them. It's scary. It's a scary world to live in. We have no real control over them outside of keeping them safe. I feel like this summer I'm probably going to send a lot of kids home, and that doesn't fill me with joy, because I always say I'm not in the business of sending kids home, but with just the exponentially more difficult behaviors that we're seeing, the kids who are having the difficult time with their own behavior are ruining the experience for the other kids. And as much as it sucks to send kids home, like, that's where I am this year, and that's going to be tough for me, because I feel like I have a heart of gold. Yeah. And I don't like sending kids home. We always do surveys for parents at the end of the season. And we did get a lot of feedback from parents saying, we understand that there was behavioral difficulties with a lot of groups this year, but when the whole group was losing out on doing things because of the actions of a few, but it wasn't a few, sometimes it was half of the group.
Exactly.
That, especially with the price increase this year at my camp, I can't justify trying to keep kids here that don't want to work within our expectations.
Because didn't you cancel a whole sleepover or something last year?
All of our sleepovers are canceled this year because of last year.
Wow.
No more sleepovers, yeah. They'll have an extended evening at the zoo until 8 o'clock, but we're not sleeping over anymore. They're just up to shenanigans, and it's not fair on the staff that sleeps over with them. And it's not fair on me, because me and my manager, we alternate who's going to be MOD, manager on duty. And we're just dealing with kids who don't understand like how much of a privilege it is to get to stay at the zoo when the gates are closed.
Yeah.
And just being able to stay over in a day camp setting is so different. So they're just going to be here for the whole camp day, because normally after the sleepover, they go home. So they'll stay here till 8, they'll go home, and then they'll come back for the whole camp day the next day. But yeah, the behaviors are interesting, and I'm excited to have my previous year staff speak on the behavior that they've seen, what worked, what didn't work, how they worked through it. Because I'm definitely incorporating more scenarios with acting out the scenarios.
That's what we're doing too.
Yeah. Like, it's so easy just to write a scenario down on paper and envision it. But I think as much as it pains me, like that secondhand embarrassment to act things out, I think that there is merit in it. And I'm bringing it back this year as much as like, I don't want to do it, but I know that there's a lot of merit in it. So
yeah,
doing a lot of things I don't like to do this summer.
But it's so important too, because then they get to practice. If that means that I have to be the camper to get the reaction that I want, then
so cringy, but it works.
But it works. And I don't have my best friend to be the annoying camper screaming for pickles. Sean, if you're listening, he was on my lead staff 1 year. We did conflict resolution training amongst the leadership team, and we did scenarios, and he pulled it out of his back pocket to be the annoying camper, and he wanted pickles. And then they weren't the right type of pickles. And I want to bring that energy back, and I don't have it, and he does, but he is in Washington.
Oh, you could just get him on Zoom.
I might have to.
Yeah, we don't have issues with pickles, but other things, so.
But as the bulk of our training this year, we are going to do, which I didn't do last year, and I'm going to bring it back to do it for group dynamics, is the color test.
Yeah.
So I read Surrounded by Idiots this past year, which is based on the Myers-Briggs tests and things like that, and the DISC survey. So yeah, we're doing that this year, but I'm going to debrief it into group dynamics. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take the test. They'll debrief in their colors and things like that. I still got to find a test that I like without paying for the entire DISC survey, because that's a lot.
I have it. I don't have DISC. I have the colors.
I have colors too. Yeah. But in Surrounded by Idiots, I am red and everybody hates red. So
I don't hate you.
I'm so glad. But I guessed my leadership team. So I told them about it and that we were going to do it. And we found like a little quick one online that relates to the book. And I told them that as I was reading this book, that I pretty much picked out what their colors were. So they all took this quick little 5 minute online one, just like a few questions to get them their colors. And sorry, I'm not a blue and I'm gold, but and continue on.
I am a rule follower.
I'm sorry.
I really feel like staff gets a lot out of the personality test. They're all arbitrary and the science behind it isn't conclusive, but I think people like to be grouped sometimes, especially when it's picking out their uniqueness. And if you can theme it into your training, like where they stay with their groups or that you mix them up to like work with the different colors or whatever you're doing, if you do Myers-Briggs or DISC or the Enneagrams or whatever, I think that could be really beneficial. It's another theme that you could do for training. Yeah, I used to do True Colors. I stopped.
I did too.
Yeah. Maybe it's something I should bring back one day.
It is
not
fun.
This summer. It is fun. It is a lot of fun. But I feel like we've got a lot of work to get done before camp starts. And it sounds like you have training pretty well mapped out.
I do.
I'm still kind of figuring it all out over here. I got a mind map that's like in my mind. And now I just have to get it all out on paper, which I will do once all of our curriculum's done. I have it in my schedule to start training planning in May. So,
oh my God, I would not be able to do that. My eyes just got bigger than my head because.
But my staff doesn't start until May 31st. So.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I will already be 4 days in the camp.
Yeah, exactly. My camp doesn't start until June 10th. Yeah, so I have 6 days of training with them this year, which I'm really excited about how we're doing it. So we're doing training on Friday and Saturday, which is the 31st and then 1st. And then June 2nd is a Sunday, and the zoo is closed for half of the day because it's our like run for the zoo, run/walk 5K, 10K. And I'm doing it. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to want to train. So they're getting Sunday off. And then we're going Monday to Thursday, and then they have a 3-day weekend before the kids come. So I feel like by chunking it like that, they're going to take more in and they'll feel more rested and relaxed before the kids get there. So I'm excited to see how that works. And then Kelly and I will tell you how it all did in September. Was it successful? Were we off our rockers when we made our planning?
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? But we will find out soon. And I hope if you're working on your training that you still have hair left and you are in a good headspace. And yeah.
Awesome.
We'll see you next time. Maybe Emily will be here next time, but she'll be here soon.
All right. Bye,
everyone.